nothing. Welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. We are looking live from Golffinity. Golffinity will be out here until 6:30 out here at Golffinity. And in the meantime, we are having a great time out here. And we'll give you some more details about this fantastic place and location. But it is 512 Friday. We play jams from local bands and artists that you can catch right here in the ATX. Who are we jamming right now, Patrick?
This is the Black Angels, and they're playing Sunday at Stubbs.
Black Angels.
And you
like
know
that.
Where Stubbs is.
I know where Stubbs is. I'm not that old.
Right.
All right. Now, you have been teasing the people all day long with a very special guest, and I will say you didn't disappoint.
I told you.
You told us.
It's going to be good.
Can we say legendary Lifetime Longhorn?
I think we should.
Okay.
Let's just legendary? Put it like this.
Legendary Lifetime Longhorn?
Let's just put it like this.
Yeah.
Do you remember in 2012, Texas was down.
Speak on it.
In the golf tournament, golf championships, NCAA championships, and they needed a big putt.
Clutch.
And what did he do?
Clutch.
He clutched up, and he knocked it down. And my man, Dylan Fritelli.
There you go.
There you go. You need to make sure you said it right.
They knew to make sure I said it right.
Even if you said it wrong, people know you're talking about.
Hey,
they know you
hit the
about.
Bottom of the cup. And here he is right now, hanging out with us at Golffinity. Dylan, thank you so much for kicking it with us today, man.
Nah, no worries. Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, Dylan, don't take this the wrong way. You're bigger than I thought.
Really?
Yeah, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
No, it is.
That's a good thing.
I feel a little intimidated, man.
I like that.
I mean, I'm a football player. I expected to be able to, you know.
TV normally, like, takes off 10 pounds or add 10 pounds.
Yeah. And also gives you some height. Yeah, it also gives you some height.
Well, you got
to
fight
on. I like to think I'm an athlete. So.
Yeah. Hey, from what I've heard, you are an athlete. So that's a good thing. Before we get into golf, I got a chance to watch you bang the drum.
Yep.
At Austin FC.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
You're a big-time soccer fan.
Yep.
Definitely an Austin FC fan. So what are your thoughts about the season? And we're not even going to get into the playoff game Sunday. We just want to know, what are your thoughts about Austin FC from last year's team to where they've come as of right now?
I mean, just by looking at their results, it's easy to see it's a totally different team. Mm-hmm. But they let a few players go. They brought a few players come in. But for me, Josh Wolf and Davey and all the coaches, they kind of stuck to their game plan. Obviously, last year they played everything out of the back. They played short from every goal kick. They've kind of mixed it up a little bit now, but the frameworks remain the same. So I think the key there is the consistency from year to year, and then the fact that the players that remained, we got in Driussi, you got in a couple other players that kind of finished it off with those little pieces, but consistency is their second year. Guys understand it. You guys both know playing a sport, familiarity with the coaches, with the players, and over time that stuff just builds and gives confidence. And I saw this in the team, like knowing a few of the players and the coaches, like, okay, these guys know what they're doing here. It's just they're kind of unfamiliar. It's a new training facility. It's a new stadium. Yeah. Like they were just kind of settling in, even though there's some veterans there that played at other teams. It was going to take some time, but I this was a shock for me, second season, making it all the way.
Did you hear what
COVID
he said?
COVID year, too.
You hear what he said? What I tell you at the very beginning of the year about the team, I kept saying, they kept playing from the back. They weren't being aggressive. Now, all of a sudden, they're being aggressive. See? I love that.
He wants to brag that he knows something about
just
soccer.
A little bit. My son was part of the academy.
And his wife.
My wife was a professional soccer player.
There you go. I think wife. Wifey gets most of the credit there. What did you play when you were younger? I mean, because like I said, you're an athlete. I think you look like you played a lot of different sports.
I played everything growing up in South Africa. So
really?
I grew up in Johannesburg. I played four sports at state level. So my home state, we played national championships. I played baseball, soccer, field hockey. That was actually my best sport.
That's
a random one for
you. Come on now.
And then golf. That was the final one. So among other things, I played cricket at a high level, played tennis at a high level. So I was just sport mad growing up and pretty good at all of those.
I love that. That's what it's all about right there. Because the more sports you play, the better it helps you with everything.
Do you hear that,
coaches out there?
Yep.
Quit making these kids specialize and let them enjoy themselves because you never know. You might have that diamond in the rough. So now let's get on the links. You know, we have a lot of fun with that. Obviously, you're a national champion at the University of Texas. Can you talk about your time and some of the players that were on the team with you that have gone on as well, just like yourself? And now playing professionally.
Yeah, so I started in 08, came in scared little South African boy trying to figure out the 48 because I honestly was scared. When I came on a visit, I was like, this is too much for me.
Really?
I'm coming from a small country, South Africa, trying to figure this out. And fortunately, I straight on the team. I was kind of number two my freshman year, so made a statement there and fit in well with the guys. And kind of got better each year from my freshman year to senior year. And by the time we were, I guess we were number two or three preseason going into my senior year, and then we kept that number one ranking for about 7 months during that final season, and ended up winning the national championship. We had Spieth on the team, Cody Gribble, another guy that's won on the PGA Tour.
Big time. I love it.
Yeah, so we had a bunch of good guys, and since then, Coach Fields has just done a great job. I mean, they just keep getting the top recruits. It's almost easy from now. He just handpicks, like, I'll take the second best, third best, and seventh best recruit in the country, and they'll make the team great. And the guys just won this year again.
Yes, I want to ask you about that. Okay, so, okay, when you came, what was the big recruiting pitch or factor for you, obviously looking at it just from a guy who wanted to play at the highest levels? Because now I'm hearing the facilities, speaking of, Golfinity, great facility here, the facilities are huge, that UT Golf Club. What shape was it in when you were here?
So the funny thing was, when I came on my visit, it was still being built.
Okay.
So the gym where I work out every day now used to be the pro shop, the office, the everything. Now it's got weight room equipment in there, and that's where I'm.
So that wasn't grinding. That wasn't the pitch for you then?
No, the golf course was there, but they were like, we're building a clubhouse. Yeah, all this will be finished by the time you get here. Uh-huh. Funny enough, when I came on my official visit in January of 2007, it would have been, the clubhouse burned down. There was a little maintenance issue before they opened it, and it burnt to shreds. But in true Texas fashion, they were like, that's okay, we'll get the insurance money, we'll just make it a little bit bigger, make it better. So yeah, nice. No, I had a great time. UT Golf, I still practice out there today, so
really?
Love the facilities.
It's top notch now.
And that's what it's all about, you know, being able to come back. You coming from another country, coming in, looking at everything, seeing this city that is continually growing every step of the way, and then the program has grown a lot. So taking yourself back to that day and now where you are now, the growth that the University of Texas has had, the championships that they won, Coach Fields being the guy that he is, doing so much for all the youth that is out there, what makes you so proud to be that Texas was your choice?
The thing for me, the old athletic director, DeLoss Dodds, I just felt like under his guidance and sort of the framework that he set while I was there, it was winning with integrity is something that Coach Fields always talks about, and I guess that's one of the new taglines for the athletic department. But I'd like to think the athletic department does things right. They do things properly. They focus on the academics. That was, for me, that was huge because my mom was a teacher. So when I came in, I was like, oh, they kind of, that ethos rings true with this department. I think there are a lot of athletic departments around the country that are just like, hey, academics, whatever. We'll finish. We'll get you above the GPA criteria. Don't worry. You'll be fine.
But you'll get your paper.
That was honestly the defining feature that made me choose the University of Texas was the academic side. So for me, that's huge. And then on the athletic side, I mean, just keep pumping out great athletes. Golf team keeps PGA Tour players. I mean, Scottie Scheffler just won the Masters. The guys coming out every year that are great players.
It seems like, because I asked Aaron about this too, that Austin has a culture, a golf culture that's developing. What are your thoughts about it as a golf kind of community and culture, the city of Austin? I think it starts with the University of Texas, obviously, a little bit.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I get asked that a lot because, I mean, the understood PGA Tour vibe is like either move to Palm Beach, Florida, Jupiter, Florida, or Dallas maybe, or like Phoenix.
Yeah.
That's what everyone does. But everyone says to me, when are you going to move? And I'm like, why do I need to move? Like, I've got a great spot at UT Golf Club, a little private practice area with the men's and women's golf team down there. I practice there as well. And then you got – I'm a member at Spanish Oaks as well, and Golfinity's just down the road here. So I've got everything I need from a practice point of view.
Yeah.
And the airport's growing. That's the other thing. Oh, you need to fly in and out. I'm like, the airport's great. It's growing.
Exactly.
More options. So there's really nothing holding me back. And the networking, too, like with everybody, business growing here, that's another part that I've really got to enjoy. Obviously, Austin FC, I've talked about the university and tons of friends and family and stuff that I've managed to link up with and make some new connections.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. Well, one of the biggest stories that's been taking over the country is obviously the LIV Tour. Everybody's got opinions about it, whether it's, oh, this is a big opportunity for me as an older player or a younger player. People are excited about it. Some people are really upset about it.
Yep.
I mean, and everybody's taking a hard stand either way. I'm not going to ask you which direction you want to go with that, but I do want to know what the scuttle is, what's the conversation behind those doors where some of those players that are walking away from the PGA Tour to jump at LIV, how are some of guys like yourself that are still on the tour that are dealing with it?
It's a tricky situation, obviously. At the end of the day, it comes down to power and money. And whichever seat you're sitting in, if you're a tour player, if you're an administrator, if you're someone on the live side from the management and a company side trying to grow their brand, it's a tricky situation. For me, I look at it in its entirety, and I think this is a good thing. There are more eyeballs on golf. There's more people talking about it. There's more interest in the game. So the game's going to grow, therefore.
Correct.
So my general opinion, great stuff. Obviously, know tons of guys that have left and gone and played to live. They all have different reasons for that. For some of them, it's money. They're going to make more money. For other them, it's less playing time. They're going to play 14 weeks a year and have more off time with their family. And then there's some guys, quite frankly, they're just tired. Like, I've done 15 years in a row playing the same schedule, going to the same cities. Or they may not like the way the PGA Tour is run. Who knows what their reasons are. But those are the general conversations that get thrown around in the locker room and things that I've heard. But at the end of the day, golf is going to grow. It's going to get bigger. It's going to get better. And that, for me, is a good thing.
Well, that's one thing about the game right now, maybe the PGA right now, that you could change. What would it be?
We have a structure such that policy board, I can, like, put forward some changes and try and see where that happens. But I think at the end of the day, it's hard to argue with the fact that the top players lead the game or lead the structure of the PGA Tour. So you got Rory McIlroy, you got Jordan Spieth, you got guys up there that are stalwarts, that have won majors, that have done well, and whatever their agenda is, whatever they kind of see the future as and what they want to do, they're obviously going to have the bidding to make sure that that happens. So I would like to think me as more of an everyday guy could have a say in that. I'd love to maybe be a little more democratic, but at the end of the day, those guys are the guys that are on the billboards. They're driving the money, they're driving the funding, and that's who the sponsors want to be around. So at the end of the day, I can't argue with that.
No,
if they're
going
to make me some money and I don't have to try as hard, sure, let them stand in the limelight.
right. So speaking of that, standing in the limelight, Tiger Woods, obviously you probably get asked questions about Tiger everywhere that you go.
Yeah.
Coming back from the accident, the energy that he's bringing to all these tour events, whenever he's around, what has that been like watching him go from the rehab part of it, almost die in a car wreck, really, and then work his way back to it and try to go back out there and be with you guys on the tour?
It's impressive, man. I was just kind of working on my body the last week coming back from Japan. I was like, oh, I got this little niggle, speaking to my physio, and I'm thinking, like, that guy's gone through surgeries. And I don't know how he manages to do it, but the way he played at the Masters this year was crazy. I mean, just making the cut there, walking 72 holes with the injury he had was ridiculous. Like, I mean, most athletes would probably just have hung it up and been like, I'm done. I'm not going to play. But that guy has such mental fortitude to be able to rehab, get better, be able to swing a club and play again. Don't know how many events he's going to play next year, but hopefully he plays all the majors, some of the majors. I don't know what he has in his mind. Maybe the father-son tournament with his son in December. So
he's pretty good.
I don't want to give Charlie another 6-7 years. He's probably going to be on tour kicking my ass.
We're being joined by legendary Lifetime Longhorn and PGA Tour pro Dylan Fratelli joining us right now. Let me ask you, if you were giving advice to a young up-and-coming golfer, just say it's a young kid, right?
Yeah. Or an old man like myself.
but somebody who just obviously want to get to where you are.
Yep.
And you said you play a lot of sports and obviously end up focusing on golf. What advice would you give them to try to help them along and help them along their path?
Honestly, what Mike said was the best advice that I give to every young kid. Play a bunch of different sports growing up. Play team sports. It's pretty lonely out here. Like, you're traveling on your own. You're playing golf on your own.
Yeah.
I played all those different sports growing up, and I think I gained 2 or 3 valuable lessons from each of them, from baseball, from soccer, from field hockey. All those team environments kind of it builds something in you. I try to sit down and, like, put words to it, but it's very tough to explain. But resiliency, you go down 2 goals, 2-0, like, what are you going to do? Are you going to pout? Are you going to be upset? No. Look at your teammates, cheer them up. Hey, guys, let's try and get this. So there's little things that you learn. And then there's also on the athletic side, hey, you're running, you're jumping, you're doing certain things that'll add to the physical side when you're trying to be a professional athlete. Like, you mentioned that I'm a little bit bigger than you expected when I came in.
Right.
Yeah.
I take that seriously. I like to work out. I like to get strong. Yeah. So if you're going to miss those little windows as a kid to learn how to run, jump, do certain things, you can't do that if you're just sitting there hitting golf balls all day from the age of 7 or 8 years old.
Right.
I agree with that.
That is so awesome, man. We can't thank you enough. I know that you're a busy man, and we appreciate the time. And as a Lifetime Longhorn, like my man Rob Babers,
I'm proud,
right here,
brother. I'm proud.
You know that we are proud of you. It is so cool to see the growth and maturation of all the guys that come to the university. you have all kinds of options out there. We all were recruited by other schools, and you get a chance to come to the University of Texas, leave your mark, and now you're spreading the good word and being able to travel all over the country playing golf, man. It's so cool. It is so cool. We can't thank you enough for joining us today.
Thanks, Dylan.
No, thank you, guys. It's awesome.
Man.
Glad we could catch up.
Thank you so much. We appreciate him. And let me tell you about my friends over at Allstat. You know, Allstat Beer was born in Fredericksburg, right in the heart of the Texas Hill Country. The beautiful Allstat Brewery, which is located off of 290 in Fredericksburg, brews authentic German-style beers that are handcrafted by the old world standards, which, while only using 100% natural German ingredients, that means German malts, yeast, and hops. So you can get that supreme drinkability and that smooth, crisp taste with all German beers. The brewery prides itself on their award-style German beers like the Kölsch and the Lager and the amazing state-of-the-art brewery. They also have a fine dining, and you should go out there and plan a tour today. Great beer, great food with great friends. Go to allstatbeer.com to find a local watering hole where you can enjoy some or where you can pick some up on your way home. Make Allstat your beer of choice. Allstat Beer. No impurities, no regrets.
All right. We're going to get out early here a little bit and then come back for Roger Round of the Day because I want to talk about that Arch Manning story a little bit, talk some Texas football, and I'll throw in some football conversation as well. And I want to take a picture with Dylan before you
go. Oh, yeah, me too. We're definitely taking a
kind
picture
of a fanboy moment
That's
for
right.
us, too. So,
we in love.
We got to get out of here a little bit. So we'll come back. We'll discuss Texas football on the other side. Go behind the burnt orange curtain. We're live right here from Golffinity. If you're in the neighborhood, come on out. We'll tell you some more about it on the other side. Right here on Ball Don't Lie. 104 now the horn.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore.
Find out what happens when people stop being polite and start getting real.
You ain't keeping it real.
My God, okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
No, you've done it now. It's time for Rod's Rant of the Day.
Hold on to your butts.
All right, welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. I do want to thank Dylan Fratelli.
Yeah.
I mean, he's awesome.
Yeah.
He's legit.
That's what happens when you're a Longhorn, right? Longhorns see Longhorns, you realize, take care of each other.
Yes, true. But he's more impressive than I thought, and he's cool. He's a really cool dude.
Definitely cool.
So now I'm a fan. So now I'm going to be randomly picking Dylan Fratelli in almost every PGA Tour event. So just know that. This is the way it's going.
That's the way it's going.
That's how it has when I meet you and I hang out with him. Like, well, you pick my peep now.
Yeah,
so
I got to
show you some love. Let's show some love to Texas football really quickly. Let's get into a couple of obviously, they're in a bye week, so we're not breaking down any opponents. But a couple of stories that I thought were interesting. Okay, so my man Anwar Richardson threw this out here yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it was seconded by Sam Spiegelman, I think is his name.
Yep.
And he's from 0-3, I believe. But Anwar, of course, works with our good friends over at Orange Bloods. And he tweeted this out yesterday. This shouldn't come as a surprise, but future Longhorn QB Arch Manning decides to enroll in January. Arch heavily considered delaying his enrollment and defending his team's state basketball title, but is eager to learn from Steve Sarkisian and join his teammates in 2023. And Sam Spiegelman quote tweeted that and said he has been set to be a mid-year graduate since before his senior season. The plan has been in place for months. So apparently that's been the case for a long time that they were going to have him as an early enrollee. And I think it's good. Some people will think, oh, man, this means he wants to play right away. I don't necessarily think it means that at all. I think he wants to learn the offense right away.
Absolutely.
I don't think he wants to play right. I think he wants to learn that offense right away and immerse himself in the college experience right away. I don't necessarily think that means he wants to play right away. I think it's a good thing. Anytime guys are enrolling early, I think it's a good thing. I don't think that's ever been an early enrollee situation that I said, nah, I don't think that's a good decision for that young man or woman. I always said, no, it's a good thing.
Right.
Started up early.
And as somebody that was looking at it from afar, I thought that was the right decision to make. You know, you sit here, you get into a college football program, whether you're going to start right away or not play right away, you still get into the program, you get on the nutrition, you get the weight, you get accustomed to the school. There's not a bad reason for you to enroll in school. What, you going to miss your prom? Hell, I was in high school for 4 years. I didn't go to the prom 1 year.
Hell, you didn't go to prom 1 year?
Not one.
Not one. What was going on during the prom for you?
Well, first off, I wasn't digging what was going on in my life at that time.
Okay, I got
you.
All right.
And I was the one that would show up and want to hang out after the party.
You were going out after? Well, first of all, did you ask any woman to the prom?
No.
You didn't ask anybody to the prom? I know you were sought after.
Yes.
You chose to protest the prom?
I protested it.
Why'd you protest the prom?
Didn't want to go, man. I thought it was all made up. I thought it wasn't a big deal.
You were too cool for the prom?
I wasn't necessarily too cool because everybody else went.
That's literally the definition of being too cool.
I was outside holding up the speaker talking about I can't
the
wait
John
for the
Cusack
party.
Moment or something. Exactly. I cannot believe you didn't
never
go to
went
the,
to the prom, dude.
And
not
you didn't have
time.
A good reason though. You just decided you weren't going
to
go.
Graduation party.
That's so weird.
I didn't go.
That's
not
strange.
One time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Learn something new about you every day.
Yeah, that's what we're here for.
So you didn't really have a legitimate reason though. You just didn't think.
I chose not to go. Basically, I'm glad you brought it up.
You were
that
too
way.
School.
It was like
you were too cool for it. Hardball Harris thought he was too cool for the school prom.
I'm gonna tell you what the situation.
You know that's
was.
What it was.
They didn't have a valet.
Well done. That's really good. That's really good. Even a young Hardball Orange was like, oh, they ain't got a valet? I ain't going. It ain't worth my time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I got sidetracked there. I did not know that. You did not go to the pub. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
I have to ask some people about that later on. All right. Let's get back to it, though. I'm going to do no downside to that at all. Okay. Another Longhorn-related story that I wanted to get to. That I thought was cool. Patrick says he went to the Spurs game instead of going to the prom.
See?
What the world? Now rewind. Go back. I'm working with two dudes who refused to go to the prom. Patrick,
the
is
prom.
This true?
Yeah.
I did not go to the prom.
Okay. Why did you protest the prom?
I didn't protest. I just didn't care much about high school. I was already working for a rock band. I was out at clubs most nights. When I was 17, I did not care. I was done with high school by, like, sophomore year. I didn't care about it anymore.
You also too cool for the school prom.
Oh, I was way too cool.
Man, so I'm the only lame-o that went to the high school prom, apparently? Y'all are so straight. I did not know that. Wow.
Yeah.
That is.
That's just what we do, man.
That's something new. I didn't know that. Now, Patrick's makes more sense than yours, Harge.
Yeah.
Because Patrick was, he's basically adult before he was supposed to be an adult. He was hanging out with
very
adults
true.
And bands, so he probably thought he was actually too cool. And you, well, I guess you were going to play in the majors.
I had other plans.
You were going to play in the majors a few months later, so I guess you were too cool as well.
I mean.
Man. Wow.
Yeah.
I thought going to prom was kind of cool, but I guess
now,
it was not.
Now, looking in hindsight, you're right. It was probably the better thing for me to do, but at that time.
You weren't doing anything else. At least he went to the – what did you say? You went past the movies?
I was at the Spurs game.
You went to a Spurs game. At least he did. What did you do during the prom, Arch?
My girlfriend was in college.
Okay.
At the time.
All right.
Yeah.
Nah, okay. We don't need to know any more details.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
TMI, your girl. Okay. Yeah. Okay. She now we know what Hart was doing during the prom.
Hello. But
okay.
I met up with everybody after they got done.
Hey, your woman was in college. You were too cool for the prom. You and Patrick both, man. Both of y'all. Who knew that I was working with to ask?
But
too
to be
cool
honest with you, I should have went to the Spurs game.
Well, the Spurs weren't that good back then. So,
but an Iceman could finger roll.
Okay, let's get to this, though. I saw Pro Football Focus. They listed their top highest graded running backs in the country. And, guys, turns out we've all been accurate. We've all been correct in our assessment that Texas has two top 10 running backs. Apparently,
yes.
Based on Pro Football Focus grades, they have Bijan Robinson as the number 2 overall graded running back in the country with a 92 grade. Rojo, number 10.
Yeah, buddy.
88.2.
Yeah.
They says Texas has two top 10 running backs.
What have we been saying the entire time? We've been saying we believe that Rojo's going to be an NFL.
And he could start.
And
at,
he could play at any other college.
Probably, 80%
of colleges. If he wasn't behind Bijan,
he'd be starting
at 80%
of colleges.
He'll be a starting running back.
No, so. I truly believe that. And I think he is. And I was talking to Kenny Vaccaro the other day. Got a chance. And Derek Johnson. They're hanging out. Just a kick with those guys. And they were talking about Bijan, too. And two guys, obviously I played in the NFL, but those are vets in the league, right? We're talking about guys like multiple countries. Hell, Derek Johnson, all-time tackling leader in the history of the Chiefs franchise.
Which, by the way, calls you the best cover corner he had ever seen, though.
That
think
is true.
That,
that's my
dog.
Dog. Yeah. I do, that's my dog. Think I do love him for that. Yeah. But they were just both saying Bijan will have a better NFL career.
Yep.
And that basically Bijan, depending on what offense he goes to, he could end up becoming the best running back in the league, too. He's got that kind of ability.
He's got that kind of ability, like, and it's amazing.
Best running back in the league.
Which goes back to your point about if he's not up for an award, if he's not in New York at the end, we failed him.
Or first running back drafted.
Or first running back drafted, failed him.
I agree.
Because the ocular proof that everybody that has played in this league realizes he got that thing.
He got that juice.
Yes.
The Bijan's got the juice. He got that mustard.
He got that mustard.
He got that mustard, son.
Bijan mustard, son.
That mustard, son. That mustard, son.
That I like mustard, that. Son.
You got to say it like, too. Mustard, son. Bijan has 65 forced missed tackles so far this year. That's 11 more than the player who has the second most.
Yep.
He had the third most broken tackles in 2021 with 76, I believe, total. He actually right now is averaging – When he does get split out wide, when they do decide to put him in the slot or put him out wide, he's averaging 4.11 yards. 2.14 yards per route run. All right, 2.14 yards per route run. To give you a little perspective on that, Chris Olave's final season at Ohio State, he averaged 2.29 yards per route run. So when you put him out there, he's really effective running routes.
Mm-hmm.
He's also averaging 4.1 yards after contact per carry, which is fifth best in the FBS. So he is, all the metrics and the stats back up that guy's just a certified freak.
I mean,
he really is.
Love
no question. Yeah. So right now looks like Texas does indeed have two top 10 running backs, and I wonder if Sark, now with Quinn Ewers coming off of the game versus Oklahoma State where – her first true road test on the road. You got another big road test coming up versus K-State. If he'll build that offensive game plan strictly around that running game and maybe take some of the burden off of throwing it vertically downfield as much with Quinn Ewers. That'll be the question in the K-State game coming up for Texas. All right, one other thing I wanted to get to since we got a little time here. There was I was looking at the – Burnt Orange Nation, they had a survey out about Quinn Ewers and whether they think Sark should have pulled him or not.
Yep.
And Burnt Orange Nation is SB Nation, so it was an SB Nation survey essentially. And they had basically that 70% of their respondents on their survey said that they thought Sark should have pulled Quinn.
76?
No, 70.
70.
Sorry, 70.
Okay.
About 70.
Okay.
They had right around 70%. They didn't give the actual numbers, and I wish they would have, but they got 70% of Texas fans think Sarkisian should have pulled Ewers during the last Saturday's game.
And, again, we've had time to go back and look at everything, how we thought about it, what was the decision that was made or not made. We can play armchair quarterback, say, he should have, just because of the flow of the game. And that was the only reason. Like I said, Quinn is the starting quarterback at the University of Texas. There's no doubt about that. We've all understood that. But sometimes you don't have your fastball that day.
You don't.
And
I've been
the
there.
Bigger question should have been, should Sark have scaled it back and put it to Bijan Mustard, son?
Mustard, son.
Is that how that should have went?
Yeah.
That should have been.
That's why I wonder, in the K-State game, will you start out more with the emphasis on quick, high-percentage passes. You talked about the screen game should have been used more. I talked about more of the dump-offs, like the pass to X-Man, the orbit return motion. Even the touchdown receiving by Bijan was a quick hitter. Even I think the second longest pass to X-Man was just a simple crossing route.
Yep.
Where he just
and then
it,
he just took off of
the
field.
I think you need more of that kind of baked into the game plans. And I know Sark is a big game hunter, as I've told you guys, and he loves his big plays downfield. You can get the big plays. They just may not be all downfield showing off that tremendous arm talent of Quinn, which I think Sark, I know he doesn't want to admit it. There's something in Sark that wants to show off that arm talent too.
Yep.
It's like driving a Lamborghini and never getting to open that thing up. And it's like, man, come on, man.
But you stuck on moped.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying? Driving over potholes on 15. You're like, man, I want to open this thing up a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think for Sark, there's some of that too where he sees Quinn Ewers out there. He's like, man, I watch these vertical passing route combinations I put together. Yeah, I ain't never seen nothing like this. And it's like, yeah, I understand that. But he will be able to make those throws. And he can make those throws, of course. But – just to get him in a groove early and get him in a rhythm early. And that was my biggest concern going to the game.
You did say
that. Kept asking everybody else about it, and it turned out to be the biggest issue in the game because it's a road test. Listen, great players, no matter how great they are, the circumstances of the environment they are in, it does affect them.
Yep.
And we know this because look at Justin freaking Verlander.
Yep.
Who is 0-6 in World Series.
In seven starts.
The circumstance, it affects him. The pressure affects him. Same thing with a young quarterback like Quinn Ewers making his first start on the road versus the best coach in the Big 12 versus the most veteran senior quarterback in the Big 12 in Spencer Sanders.
Yep.
He in that raucous environment just didn't handle it well. Is it an indictment on him as a player? No. Like I was talking to those guys, Kenny Vaccaro and Jeremy Hills about it, and my man Derek Johnson asked them, would they avenge him? They all said no. Should leave him out there.
Yep.
Leave him out there.
Let him go through it.
Leave him out there. Let him go through it. He's got to learn from it. It'll end up paying dividends later on. You got to go through it. And, you know, so it's everybody feels a little bit differently about it. Except most fans, based on that survey, thought they should have pulled him.
Yep.
And some people believe, and you, I think you're on this bandwagon, should have pulled him.
Yep. I was strong with it. And again, it's not an indictment on how you aren't the quarterback. You are going to be the starting quarterback. There's just days where you're like, okay, he's not as sharp as we thought he was going to be. There were some things going on. He was already dealing with a finger.
DJU.
So you had the opportunity there to say, yeah, I pulled him because of this.
You had an excuse to pull him.
And then you could have put him back in there. We saw it happen before. DJ,
you just saw Cade Klubnik.
Yeah, Klubnik went in, got the win. Klubnik's like, I'm cool with it. I'll be the backup.
Everybody saw what I can
do. Now they're not game planning for me. I'm back in the mix. And Hudson Card is not a young player. He's an older player who's gone through bad things.
He went to the Arkansas game.
And what did they do in the Arkansas game? They pulled him.
They pulled him.
And they put Casey in, and things changed. The momentum changed. But guess who started the next week?
Yeah.
Hudson.
Yep. I think that was Sark's. I think that was Sark's statement to everybody, including the fans and the media. He's the guy.
Yep. No doubt.
Like we said, this young got pulled.
Yep.
Chris Sims got pulled.
Yes.
So I was like, hey, all the guys I played with, they got pulled.
So don't ask Rob B.
Hey, Verlander the guy. Like you said, Verlander exactly. Get pulled.
You get pulled.
Yep. You ain't balling. That's just because there are like 80-something other guys I owe it to try to go win this
Absolutely.
Game.
Absolutely.
And that's just – sorry, guys.
Because we're trying to win this Big 12 championship.
So that's part of it, too. I think that was Sark's statement saying, guys, it don't matter what happened. He's the guy. And I think Sark was trying to avoid any quarterback controversy, even if he had said, Quinn Ewers is still going to be the starting quarterback if he had put Hudson Card in. He's trying to avoid that. What I always say, it's like an election. A quarterback competition is an election. He's trying to avoid any dispute about who won that election. And it's Quinn Ewers. It's Quinn Ewers' job. And he can't lose it is what he's telling you.
That's exactly what
that statement told me. Yep. He can't lose this job, guys.
Yeah.
Not even in a situation like this where he's literally melting down in front of us. It's his job.
It's him.
He will just melt down and we will move on.
We're going down with him, baby.
Yeah.
That's what
we're going down with the ship.
Yep.
I'm not mad at him. I mean, that's how he feels about it. But like I said, it's new because as Harsh just mentioned, last year he pulled guys.
Yep.
But it's because he didn't really feel like Hudson Card or Casey was his guy. This is his guy.
No doubt.
And
no doubt.
That's what that meant.
Yeah.
All right. We come back. We'll get into – we got to talk Austin FC as well. We'll get into that coming up a little bit later on and break down Austin FC and their matchup versus LAFC. All of that and more right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn.
Used to worry about everything, what you thought and what you think. Now I know I do what's right. I let the sleeping.
All right, welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. We are looking live, ladies and gentlemen, from Golffinity. What a great place. We'll tell you more about that here in just a second. Before we do, it is a 5-1-2 Friday. We play jams from local bands and artists that you can catch live right here in the ATX. Who are we jamming right now, Patrick?
This is Jeff Plankenhorn, and he's doing his annual Professor Plankenhorn Halloween show Monday at the Saxon Pub. Tons of special guests on that show on Monday night.
Oh, I like that. That's a nice last name, too. Plankenhorn?
Plankenhorn.
Plankenhorn. That's not bad. All right, we'll get back to some 5-1-2 Friday. Thanks to my man Patrick for all of his hard work, the real MVP. Let's talk about Austin FC. Hopefully they got the real MVP on their team, too, with Sebastian Triussi and the season he's had so far. Got a chance to ask Dylan Fratelli about Austin FC. He's excited about it. Everybody's excited about it, as a matter of fact.
No doubt.
I guess everybody jumps on the bandwagon when you become a championship contender. This season has been great all year long, though, but LAFC will be a monumental test for this group, Harge. LAFC earlier this year, of course, Austin FC did beat LAFC twice, actually. Beat them once in Austin. That was the last one. That was a 4-1 win. They also beat them at LAFC, at Bank of California Stadium. That's important because LAFC, they've lost just two games at home.
Yeah.
They've won 13, and they have two losses, two ties at home. 39 goals scored at home, only 15 allowed. And Austin FC, you know, on away games, lately they've been struggling away from Q2 Stadium. Because I went and looked at it, they failed to score in each of their last three road games.
Yeah.
And they lost each of their last three road games.
Yeah, that's a tough go.
Actually, they lost the last four, I think.
I was going to say, because you remember, they would start a little bit faster than they would at home, but then they would fade out. They would fade out. They wouldn't do as much. And that's one of the things we've been talking about the entire season. How are they going to play in certain situations? Do they make the starters different? Do they change the lineup again like they did the other day?
That's a good point. They could start Gite instead of Max Uridi.
Yeah. But I think you start Max Uridi this time because the way that they play, how fast they play, the quickness that – LA plays with.
Okay.
I think that would be the better matchup. But when you bring him into the game, Gite, he scores quickly. He puts more pressure on it. So how long? What's the balance?
Okay.
What's the time that you put him in? If you're not going to start him, how quick do you bring him in? Because you can look at all of this and how the season's gone. It doesn't matter now. You got one more game to be in the championship.
That's it, man. You got to win one.
The tricks of the trade are going to be called out right now. Josh Wolf has done a great job with maximizing the talent that he has and pushing and creating pressure against other teams. So this is a big move for them as we move forward.
Yeah, LAFC have won three of their last six at home without even conceding a goal at all. In three of those last six, they've won three of their last six without conceding a goal. I should say They're really good at home is basically the point I'm trying to make.
Well.
If you're Austin FC, it's going to be important to get off to a fast start, which they did versus FC Dallas. They didn't versus Real Salt Lake.
Nope.
After a really slow start, still ended up winning that game in penalty kicks late. And Brad Stuber has been great all year long. He's been fantastic, though, in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And his rise has been somewhat – mercurial. I mean, he was a backup for a long time, kind of a journeyman backup, Columbus Crew, NYCF for a long time. He found his home with the Austin FC. And in the playoffs, man, he has just been clutch. He had a clutch performance in the Real Salt Lake game and was able to deny them multiple times. They only scored converted one of those penalty kicks. FC Dallas, he had a point-blank reaction save in like the 86th minute. That was key, kept FC Dallas from equalizing and tying that thing up and pushing it to penalty kicks potentially. So Brad Stuber, I mean, if you ask somebody who's asking me who's going to have to step up and be big in this match on the road against one of the most prolific and explosive rosters and offenses in all of MLS, Brad Stuber, even though he's been having a career year and he's had a hell of a playoff so far, you're going to need him to have essentially his best performance because they come at you in waves.
Yes.
They got, all the different players. They got Christian Arango.
Mm-hmm.
He's really good. They also have all these Denise Buanga. Buanga is a great player for them. Chiellini. They signed him. Buanga was a DP they just brought in.
Yeah.
So he's a young attacker they just brought in this year. Chiellini was another guy they signed who has been great for them. They just got a ton of different players they can throw at Austin FC. Austin FC's got a ton of talent, too. Siba.
They do.
Talking about all the Fagundes and Cascante. They got some great players they can throw at you, too. But, man, it just seems like right now that LAFC – I see why they're favored, and they are favored. I think Austin FC has the the longest or worst odds, if you will, to make the MLS Cup. But nobody has a better, I would say, record against LAFC than Austin FC.
There it is. There it is.
That's the matchup right there. If
and the other part of it is, too, both teams' total goals are 69. Both of them, as you say, shout out to BK.
Shout out.
Yeah, but the goal differential throughout this season has been 29 for LAFC and 17 goals for Austin FC. So this is going to be one of those tests of, okay, who is going to break first? This is it. Everybody knows this is everything goes in this game right now. The big part of it about two, officiating. Mm-hmm. How is the game going to be officiated? Both of these teams are physical. They're fast.
I like that.
They flop. They're trying to get the calls here and there. So what are the refs going to do in this game is going to be a big part of it as well.
If you're an Austin FC fan, you're rooting not only for Austin FC to win, but you want New York to win on the other side. Because if Austin FC wins and New York wins, Austin FC hosts the championship final.
Come on now.
That means, Q2 would be rocking.
Bring it back.
Yeah, so that's what you're hoping for. That match, of course, Sunday between Austin FC and LAFC. LAFC hosting Austin FC in
that
match.
And don't forget, they're doing this without Cecilio Dominguez. Remember, he got let go halfway through the season because of something off the field. And he was one of their DPs the first year, the designated player.
Yeah.
And now they've made the upgrade with Jeruzzi, and now they are playing in the semifinal to go to the championship.
Yes, Sebastian Driussi with 3 goals in 2 playoff games.
Love
He's going to have to be big. I mean, that goes without saying. You've been watching Austin FC. That guy's got, I think it's 25 total goals on the entire season, 7 assists. Like I said, 3 goals in the playoffs.
Bowling!
And he probably could have had more. He's had like 2 or 3 called
more.
Back.
Yeah, he definitely could have
for
had
different
more.
Reasons. So he's been a phenomenal force. Probably right now, along with, I forget the young man's name. Is it Mukhtar?
Yeah, Mukhtar? That's a kid from Nashville.
Yeah, he is. And they're probably the front runners for the MVP discussion right now, him and Seba. All right, we'll come back. We'll have one more segment left before we have to give it up to FL Lex, to the Flex crew.
It's a flex!
And we'll come back. We'll get into Cowboys discussion. We'll talk some Texans, other NFL news, notes, and nuggets. Also get into my man Sam Ehlinger, making his first start as QB1 of the Indianapolis Colts. What can we expect to see from Bam Bam Sam? All of that and more right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn.